Jesus makes these declarative statements in John chapter 10, and he says this. He says, I'm the door. He says, no man can't come through that but by me. He says, I'm the door. He says that I am the good shepherd, and we went through that. And Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the door. He's the only way to get through. What's that through? Salvation. He says, I am the only way. He is speaking to a religious crowd, and he's saying, hey, guys, the only way to get saved, the only way is to trust and go through me. He says, I'm the good shepherd. So he paints this other picture. He says, I'm a shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd takes care of the flock. A shepherd lays down his life for that flock. He will do anything for those sheep. He will give his life for the sheep. And we've come to find out after we went through an exhaustive search of all the Psalms that he's not only the good shepherd that lays down his life, he's the chief shepherd that rules over all, and that he's gonna rule in all his glory someday, and he's our king, he's the king of kings, he's the lord of lords. But in between that, he's the shepherd that is with us right now, guiding us every single day of our lives. He's living. He's seated at the right hand, but God, he's actively working in lives that have been given to him right now. And we have to remember that, because that's where we are right now, right? We're in the here and now. Jesus is king and king of kings. He's already declared that he's coming back, folks. I want to make sure I'm ready. And you know what? If I get called, if I take my last breath before he comes back, I'm still with the Lord. Amen? So Jesus is making all these statements. He starts talking to these people, and one of the biggest problems that they can't believe is the Jews are looking at Jesus, and Jesus makes a statement that they're not okay with. Now, up until this point, Jesus is preaching. You know what he's preaching? He's preaching the gospel. He's performing miracles, but those miracles are designed for one thing: to prove that he is the Son of God. He's giving them evidence. He says, guys, according to the scriptures, I am who I say I am. In Jewish law, when you declared yourself to be God, it was considered what's called blasphemy. And it was sentenced to stoning. So we're going to read, we're going to finish off where we left off last time, but we're going to pull it all together, and I hope it's a blessing for you today. John chapter 10. We're going to be starting in where we just did the recap. So John chapter 10, starting in verse 27 for context. Very important. Here's the theme of the chapter. My sheep hear my voice. I hope today that you're one of Jesus' sheep. That means you're saved and you trust him. He's your shepherd. You hear his voice. He hears yours. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Folks, that's eternal security. Once you call upon the name of the Lord, it says, thou shalt be saved. You are saved you are saved eternally. You're saved. He can't pluck you out of the Father's hand. You are saved. My Father, which gave them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Present tense. You know what he's saying? It's always going to be that way. I and my Father are one. Verse 31, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Man, they hated Jesus. He was preaching truth, but man, they hated him. Verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. He's talking about the miracles he performed. Right? So many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? He's saying, guys, I've performed all these miracles. He's kind of getting to their heart. He's saying, so which one of these miracles, which one of these works that I did from my Father, which one of these are you guys accounting me to stone me? Right? So Jesus always does this. He asks the question. He gets personal with everybody, and he says, okay, wait a minute. So you're going to throw up stones to throw me? But let me ask you a question before you do that. And he gets to their heart. That's what he does. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that. The Jews, this is important. Here we go. The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work, we stone thee not. He's saying it's not because you did that. Here's why they do it. But for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. They're saying, Jesus, this man named Jesus, we're stoning you because you're in according to our law. You're declaring yourself to be God. Okay? So now it's a little bit of a pickle, right? He's declaring himself to be God, and he's saying, but I did all these miracles. Don't you guys believe that? No, but wait a minute. Let's take a step back. Jesus is doing that. He's performing these miracles, showing them he's the Son of God, and yet they are still rejecting him. Why? Because they're so hyper-focused on that law. They're saying, but you know what? You're declaring yourself to be God. We're waiting for someone who's not going to break our law, but Jesus is showing them, I'm the real deal. Let's go on. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. He's referring to Psalm 82. We won't get to that today. Verse 35, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, meaning to kill him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And here it is, folks. Here's the greatest outcome out of all of this problems. Jesus is talking to the people. Some of them are questioning it. The religious Pharisees are saying, this guy's crazy. He's a blasphemer. Look, check out the last verse. And many believed on him there. Heavenly Father, bless your word today. Although it's going to be a short sermon, Lord, I pray that it's edifying to the body. It's edifying to you, Lord. It blesses you, Lord. You're worthy. All of your praise and your glory, Lord. We don't deserve eternal life, Lord, but you were merciful and gracious enough to give it to us, Lord. Thank you so much. And we know that you loved us because you showed it on the cross, Lord. So Lord, just take the preacher out of the way. Let your word do the talking. It is quick and powerful. It's perfect in every single way. Lord, thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to break this down a little bit. Jesus is stating here, I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We're going to do a little bit of teaching, because we got to learn the Bible, but a little bit of preaching application, and that's the best way to do it, because we need to learn the Bible, but we also need make sure that the Bible comes alive in our lives, folks. Because we could say a lot of things about this word, but is it coming alive in our lives? And that's the most important thing. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Here's what Jesus is talking about. So the Jews are caught up in Jesus declaring himself to be God. The reason why I am stressing this point that Jesus is the Son of God, and I may be talking to a church that's like, well, preacher, I get that. I mean, he's the Son of God. But you understand, today it is still a doctrine that is being attacked, not only in the church, is a lot of people think that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was just a spirit. But according to the book of John, when Thomas handled the nail prints in his side, he said he felt him and then he believed. It was a bodily resurrection. That's our hope, and we need to make sure we are secure in that teaching, is that that is a bodily resurrection. When Jesus Christ did that, that sets apart everything else that you can ever think of a religion from true biblical Christianity. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He defeated death. And I want to make this point. We stress the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. So these Jews are attacking him and thinking that he's a blasphemer. Well, where did they get that idea from, right? So let's take a look from what they're talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 13, starting in verse 1. And I won't read the whole chapter. We're just going to read a passage. Just bear with me. If there are, this is according to their law. Okay, if there arise among you a prophet, did people call Jesus a prophet? Yes, they did. or a dreamer of dreams. Can you think of somebody in the Bible that was a dreamer of dreams, right? Joseph, right? Daniel, right? Okay. And giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of wonder to come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So if he's saying, hey, let's look at these gods or look at that those gods, or if he's declaring himself to be God, don't go after him. He's false, okay? That's what their law says. Now, that's a good law, okay? For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. By the way, that's in the New Testament. But it's written in Deuteronomy. Wait a minute. That's because the Bible is cohesive, folks. The Bible is true. Salvation is it's packed right there between all the pages. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That word cleave means cling unto him. I need to be dependent upon him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. So what's happening here is you can kind of, maybe you're starting to paint the picture. They're looking at Jesus as, well, he's this prophet, maybe he's this dreamer of dreams, but is he selling, what is he telling me? Is it going according to our law? Now, just read closely. Because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, that was Egypt, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now let me ask a question. We just read John. Is Jesus claiming who he is claiming to be God? Yes, he declared it. I and the Father are one. They took that as he's declaring himself to be God. Okay, he checks that off. Did people think that he was a prophet coming? Remember, we've read passages. Some say he's a good man. Some say he's a prophet, right? So they're recognizing all the signs. Is he a dreamer of dreams, right? Then he says, let us go after other gods. What that's talking about is a blasphemer. That's why the Jews are accusing him of blasphemy. Let's go on in Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, it's going to hit all the relatives, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee, secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him. If he's trying to tell you, no matter what, to follow him because he's God, don't consent to him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So, what's the problem here? The Jewish people, the Pharisees, everyone's saying, wait a minute, this guy comes and this Jesus of Nazareth, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? But he's declaring that he's God. All of a sudden, for 30 years, Jesus is, he's living as a man. He's working as a carpenter. He's probably the best kid you've ever had because you never had to yell at him. He's teaching in the temple at 12 years old. Something's different about this boy, this man, this human. And all of a sudden, after 30 years, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. What's going on? All of a sudden, out of somewhere, the Father comes down. He says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he starts his ministry for 3.5 years. Something changed, and all of a sudden now he's stirring the pot, folks. Jesus, I'm going to say this, and don't take this as a negative. Jesus Christ, he divides, but sometimes he divides in a good way. He will separate, and he will separate those that say, I choose Jesus Christ over my I have to choose Jesus over my family. He's my Lord and Savior, and I've had to make those choices with my family. So this is what he does. He says, he comes down, he's got his earthly ministry, so let's go on. Now turn back to John chapter 10. We're going to go back. We're going to go back. We're giving context here to why Jesus had a lot of this resistance. So if Jesus is not God, he is to be put to death. That's the argument, right? That's the statement. In verse 37, we're going to go down. So now Jesus says this. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. So what is, in the Bible, it says that if all these works came true to pass, then what he is saying is true. So he says, verse 38, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is trying to show everybody. He says, I am who I say I am. My Father was there when I was getting baptized by John the Baptist. Remember the spirit of the dove, right? It descends, right? And it descends there. And then Jesus Christ the Son, what we're seeing is the Godhead. So the teaching of the Christian church, the teaching of Bible Christianity, Jesus right here packed in all of this is the foundation of the faith. I need to believe that Jesus Christ, number one, he is God. What has happened in marriages, what has happened in relationships, this is what has happened in today's society. And this is the best way I can explain it, and we need to come to this conclusion. Let's use a marriage as an example. A man and a wife come together in union. And I went to a wedding yesterday, and they hit on this verse, Genesis chapter 2. They cleave unto each other. They literally become one unit. My wife and I, we have to be one unit. If you're married today, you'd be one unit. Now, if you don't have a spouse today, you know what? You're still the bride of Christ. Amen? Right? We're all the bride of Christ. But that unit together means that when you're that working unit together, what I'm trying to get across is that it's the same way Jesus in his divinity did with the Father. He is equal in power. He is God. The power is there. The authority is there, but what he did is, it says that he made himself a little lesser than the angels. He willingly submitted to the Father, came down in the form, what does Philippians say, in the form of a servant. And he grew up in wisdom and in stature, as Hebrews says. And he grew up and he learned the scriptures like everybody else, except that he was also teaching them at 12. He understood everything. The reason why we trust Jesus Christ as the payment for our sin is because he didn't come to destroy what we would call the law. All the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. We can't suffice that. We can't do that. We're born into sin. Sin is a thing that is inherited by nature. We can't do that. Jesus Christ reversed that. He said he made a way to defeat that by going to the cross. He literally gives us new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creature in Christ. When you trust in him. So when you trust in Christ, what he is doing, what he is trying to tell them, he says, I am the way. I'm the door. He says, if you go in through that door any other way, if you try to get through that passage any other way, if you try to go through the window, if you try to find a secret elevator or a secret stairway to get in, he says you're but a thief and a robber. Because what you're essentially doing is you are robbing the preciousness and the cost and the effort and the event of the crucifixion and the resurrection of what Jesus did. You know that hymn that says Jesus paid it all? He literally did all the work. He paid it all. The sin has been forgiven. What people have to make the decision today, do I accept the gift? Do I believe that he is the Son of God? There, I have to believe in my mind and in my heart and in my soul. It is a collective thing. I can assent up here. I hear Jesus. I hear the name. I hear Jesus in the Bible, but a lot of other religions say Jesus too. A lot of other people say Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, okay. I hear God a lot of the times, right? I believe in God. Saul of Tarsus believed in God, but he was killing Christians because he didn't know the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And what Jesus is saying is that you guys got it all wrong. He says, I'm doing all these things. I'm showing you the works that my Father giving me for the very sole reason is I know your law because I wrote it. It's mine. I wrote this. What you're talking about, I've come in the flesh to show you that I am who I say I am. Those miracles are there to prove. They're evidence. God has given more sufficient evidence to man through his miracles, through his word, through the resurrection. It says he was seen of above 500 witnesses. Wait a minute. At once. Wait a minute. That is the, if at once, that's a big conspiracy. If everybody's got the same story, you can't get two kids to agree on something, right? What I'm saying is, this is important. Because a lot of people say, well, okay, I believe, can you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Okay. Do you believe in the beginning God created heavens and the earth? Okay. Here's the hardest one. And this is the one that sends people to hell. Do I desire in my heart, my wicked heart of mine, do I desire to repent and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? You have the evidence. The evidence is there. There's no doubt about it. You could try to finagle your way around any other argument. The evidence is there, folks. It's not only in the Bible, it's in history records. Josephus, the historian. I'm telling you, not only was Jesus a man, there are people that can't explain things. He's real. But do you desire to change? And this is what he's getting at. Do you desire to change your heart, your mind, and truly go upon pure faith and trust me as your Savior? You could try to understand everything in this noggin of yours, but what faith comes down to is complete surrender, saying, Lord, I didn't know a lick about this Bible. I grew up in a church, and guess what? I didn't know a lick about this Bible. Why? Because my heart wasn't there. I didn't desire it. I didn't desire to get to know the Savior. I didn't want to be saved. And all of a sudden, I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I don't know how it is. I'm a sinner. I repent. I was overwhelmed. It is a matter of pure faith to trust somebody with your next step in life. When the moment you take your last breath, you will be with Jesus Christ. And the greatest reward, Jesus says, is not to be in heaven. This is the Bible. Let's just say the Bible's infinite, but let's just say this is all the Bible. You know how much is written describing heaven? That much. You know why? The rest of it's saying, get to know the Savior. Live the Christian life. Get to know Jesus Christ. Try to be like him. Look at the past. Learn from the past. Learn from history. Look what people did when they disobeyed the Lord. Look when people obeyed the Lord. Look at the blessing. Look at what everything happened. Look at how he can change a life. That's the Bible. That's what he's trying to get at. He's saying, you need to trust me for your salvation. I know you hate me. I know you Pharisees think that I'm some crazy nut job. But he says, guess what? I've given you more than sufficient evidence to show you that I am who I say I am. And you know what? In verse 40, that says, many resorted and said unto them, John did no miracle, but all things John spake of this man were true. Some people started realizing, wait a minute, there was all these witnesses. John the Baptist started talking about Jesus and saying, look at all the miracles he's doing. All the other people, the scriptures are saying it. He's going to be born out of this zip code right here. And guess what? Jesus was born out of that zip code. That's taken out of Micah 5:2. That's the Frank version right there. We're condensing it. What I'm saying is, you can learn things about the Bible, but not know Jesus Christ. You can think that you can go to church, you can sit in a, you could do that, you could think, but do you know the Savior? And that's the most important thing. And that is a heart issue. That is a mind, a heart, and a will issue. Saying, Lord, you are my Savior. I repent. There's no magic formula. There's no this or that. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he, it's been the same story what he's talking to the Pharisees as today. Okay, and then it says, and when again, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Important points here. We had it in our opening song. He cries out, it is finished. Many times in the book of John, especially in this chapter, verse 17 and 18, it says that they tried to kill him. They tried to stone him. And guess what? Somehow he just escapes it. It's because Jesus is God. He made a way of escape. He's saying that the hour has not come. The hour has not come. And finally, when he goes to the cross, he says, the hour's come. What's the hour? It's the time that sin is going to be paid for. This train's going. And he's saying, this is happening. And you know what? The devil, when Peter says, Lord, we don't want you to, this is not going to happen. Why do you think that Jesus said, get thee hence behind me, Satan? Because he knew that that's what Satan wants. He goes, hey, I don't want the plan of salvation being fulfilled. Jesus knew that. We got to watch that and saying, keep our mind, be vigil, be sober-minded and saying, Lord, help me, protect my heart, making sure I'm walking this Christian life, this world. It comes into you like this. It'll throw every dart imaginable to you. I just know, unfortunately, I know from past experience. And I see younger people here, younger than me. It's the encouragement. It's the warning saying, just trust Jesus. Jesus's way is always the best way. It's always the best way. That sounds like a Sunday school lesson, right, with the little felt posters. But it's very true. And the older you get, it's got to be more simplistic. In the last 10 minutes, I'm giving you a time thing so everybody knows. In the last 10 minutes, that's what we got left. We're going to get through a little teaching, but I want this to be encouraging because we need to understand what's going on here. Fundamentally, the doctrine of the divinity of Jesus Christ, what do I mean? The teaching that Jesus is God is so fundamental. We need to believe that. You need to believe that he without that, there's no resurrection. There's no hope in your faith. In fact, Paul says your hope is in vain. Our hope is in vain if none of that happens. What keeps those apostles were martyred for their faith after they were truly converted. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and by the end of it, Peter gets persecuted. What? Would you die for something that you didn't believe in? You got to question a lot of those things. Is that there's something there. There's truth there that they were willing. When they saw Jesus and at Pentecost, when they were changed men and they were sold out to the Lord. Here's the pattern. There's a pattern in this Bible, and I hope you get a blessing out of it because the way I like to do this is teach it but kind of make it cool. This book is supernatural. I don't know if you're aware, but this book is supernatural. If you actually study it out, it's supernatural. I'm not talking ghosts and spirits. It's not natural. The way it was woven and pieced together, it's the Word of God. You got to believe this is the Word of God. It's the first step. It's the first step after you trust in Him. And I'll tell you why. It's the nourishment that will keep you going. Lord, you said this here. I have to confront myself and saying, do I really? I believe you're my Savior, but in order to walk this Christian life, Lord, I like this over here, but I don't like this over here. Right? We've all been there, right? But do I believe it? Because right now, it may seem fine, right? But faith is tested. The very definition of faith is blooms when it is proved and it is tested. But it is such a blessing. You know why? Jesus says you don't have to carry this burden alone. He says this Christian life, in order to be victorious, he says this world out there, they don't have hope. They don't have Jesus. We got to tell them about Jesus. There's hope out there. You can have it too. And you know what? The Christian life, it's hard sometimes too. But guess what? Jesus is there along the way with you. He somehow does it. He gives you peace and strength. And he gives you joy in the midst of trouble. And he helps you. He has brothers and sisters around you to help you. He gets you through it. And you know what? I would trade that for $1 million too. You can't put a price on that. But finally, let's recap this. Let's recap this. Jesus in this chapter, he says, I'm exclusively the only way. That's important. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They're all definite articles. I'm not a way. I'm not an option. I'm not an option. I'm not one of 3 options on the Price is Right. I don't do that. You understand? Jesus says, I am exclusively the only way. And he equates himself to a door, an opening. Genesis chapter 6. Remember that another door that was opening and closing? It was the ark. Jesus is the door. Get in the ark. Get saved. Trust Jesus. Here's the thing. Think of the blessing of all the people that actually stayed in the ark. Do you know how many people actually went in the ark out of all the thousands of people at the time? Eight. The road is narrow. The road is narrow. It's narrow, but it is sometimes it could be difficult. It is a blessed road to trust Jesus Christ. He's what they call in Acts 9 when Saul of Tarsus, he sees the glory of the Lord. He's actually blinded temporarily. That's how God's glory and all in his full glory. You understand God is so powerful that when he manifested himself, God the Word came down, the Word was made flesh. God manifests in the flesh. He comes down, he's in a veil. You understand, he's shielding his glory as Jesus Christ. You understand that? When he's ascended to the Father, he's in all his glory, he literally blinds a man to his knees, and he has to have scales wiped from his eye. That is the power of the Lord that I hope you trusted in. And that very same man that went from killing Christians, you know what he did? He gives his life to the Lord and he says, Lord, I believe you. And he gives his life to the Lord and he serves the Lord from his day on. And guess what? You guys bless me. And I hope I get to be a blessing to you. One of the most beautiful testimonies is a changed life in someone. Seeing, it is one thing to profess Jesus Christ, but when you say, Lord, here I am. I'm changed. I'm living towards you. He does this, and he does this over and over again. He's the shepherd. He's the door. He's the only way. And when you trust him, he just makes us better. But you got to allow him to do that. You got to allow him to work in your life. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we are bought with a price. We're bought with a price. Sin has cost a price, but you know what? He paid it. And after that, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you're bought with a price, but you live for him who died for me, right? Remember that hymn? I'm going to end with this. In this book, we see the Father. We see the Father through Jesus Christ. He says the Father is testifying of my works. They're given from me. We see that the Son is present. That's Jesus. We see the Godhead, the Trinity. That's Jesus. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. That's John 10:17. That I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus is raising himself up. He's foretelling of his resurrection. Folks, the crux of the matter is you can bank your eternal life on someone that can do that. And Jesus is saying that to all these religious people. He's saying, you think that you know the scriptures, you say that, but you don't believe the word of God. You're going through this religious activity. You're making the people, you're using the Sabbath to chastise them. You're using all these rules and regulations. And he says, but I've come to offer grace and mercy. And you can think that you're doing the law, but Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. We could never fulfill the law. In one point, if I follow the law, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. And that started about the time of age zero. You understand? He's good. He's good. And he died willingly because he loves us. And Jesus is a one-time sacrifice. He said, I'm going to sacrifice myself one time so that you can be, as Romans says, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son, is here and the Spirit is here. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it's asking a question, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That very same Spirit raised Jesus from the body. It's going to raise our mortal bodies up. When it says that we are made in the image of God, that's what it means. is that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit the same way Jesus does, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, this teaching of the Godhead is all wrapped up in John chapter 10. Of the four Gospels, only in John is the lamb mentioned in Exodus 12 in this Gospel. When a lamb is separated from the flock for several days, it gets slain. It gets separated sometimes and it's slain. Jesus was the lamb. He was slain. You understand, he's sitting on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. He's separated from the Father. He did that so that we wouldn't be forsaken. He did that. The Father forsook the Son. Jesus was the only person ever to live that died for a crime he did not commit. We all have the crime of sin. You understand that? We all have something to our name, right? We can think of times, but just our very existence, and Jesus died innocent. And Judas says, I spilled innocent blood. But Jesus, he died for us knowing that because he knew what needed to be done. The cannots in the book of John, the natural man, that is someone that does not know Jesus Christ, that is not saved, the natural man cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. That's in John chapter 3. The unsaved cannot come or go where Christ is. Being separated from God is essentially not being born again. They desire to not be with God. God gives them the free will to make that choice. He does love us. He doesn't want us to be robots. Number three, the unsaved, John 8:43, the unsaved, unless it's the cry of repentance, Isaiah 59, look that verse up. The unsaved cannot hear the words of the Lord, meaning the instruction. They need to call upon the name of the Lord and know the Savior. What are we saying? Countless prayers have been offered not knowing the Savior. That's what Jesus says. He says, you need to come to me. Go through the door first. You need to go through the door and trust me first, and I will help you. Trust me with your salvation. Number four, the scripture cannot be broken. This cannot be broken. The words of the living God, guess what? Heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. Amen. Amen. The world, number five, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's found in John 14:7. Those that trust in Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit. Believers, this is important. Remember we talked about long-suffering today? John 15:4 is a cross-reference here. Believers, those that have trusted Christ, believers cannot bear fruit. Remember, long-suffering, gentleness, love. Believers cannot bear fruit of themselves. Remember that. It is the work of Jesus Christ. And finally, number seven, the Lord will not place upon us that which we cannot bear. Trust him with your burdens. That's found in John 16:12, Matthew 11:28. Trust the Lord with everything. Trust him. Let him carry your burdens. Let him be your burden bearer. Don't do it alone. Trust him with everything. It is good to have a spouse or a family member to help you out with things. But if in times of trouble, do what David did early in the morning. Just call to the Lord and help. First and foremost, people can help. I get that. They're right here, ready, available, a text away, a call away. But I'm telling you, I know we think that God delays, but in his timing, just reach out to him in complete faith first, and he will help you in some way. May not be the way you imagined, but he will. I hope today's message was a blessing. Thank you for staying 2 minutes over. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but think about not only what was taught today, it was more of the idea of this is that Jesus is God. He rules and reigns, folks. Amen. Amen? Be encouraged in that. Be encouraged in the faith. Keep going. Keep going. Trust in him. And I promise it'll be worth your while. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. You always say things much better in your word, Lord. And I just pray that it was clear, concise, what I was trying to get across today and finishing up this chapter. But Lord, I pray that your word, I know it's quick and powerful. I pray that it helps someone today, Lord. Whether it's online, whether it's here in church, Lord, I pray that it just helps someone somewhere. Whatever's going on in their life, Lord, just touch them, comfort them, give them peace and joy and comfort and wisdom, Lord, to just get them through what maybe it's a trial they're going through. Maybe it's they're not so sure where they're going. Maybe it's their eternal life that they're not sure about. Maybe they don't know what this born again thing is. Maybe they do, but there's so many complicated things that they think or things are unclear. Lord, just direct them into where they need to direct them, Lord. But all you're asking for is a willing heart. One to come to you, come to the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. Lord, life is full of some real problems. Right now we're sitting in church, but life is full of real problems that really need real solutions, Lord. And the only way I can think of as I'm preaching this, Lord, I'm just thinking of the top of my head is, as Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? I can't rely on anyone else but you, Lord. We can rely on each other for certain things, but Lord, ultimately, you are our strength, our joy, and our comfort, Lord. So, Lord, be a blessing. Please, I plead with you, just be a blessing to these people today, Lord, and that it stirs their heart in whatever way you seem fit, including my own, Lord. And that we leave today, that we leave better. We leave more. We have more, maybe a little bit more knowledge of the Bible, but more importantly than that, that we let this Bible really touch our heart and make us alive even more to really put it into action. Lord, faith is literally, the definition of it is, it's by being proved. It's not walking by sight, but walking by faith. And it's hard. We all know that it's hard. But Lord, give us the strength. We only know that it's only a work upon you. Lord, thank you for these wonderful people today coming. Just everybody in the congregation and just singing songs of praise and thanks. And people listening online, for those that want to listen, we thank you for everything that you do. We praise you for who you are. And Lord, bless the people throughout the week. Keep them safe. Give them the wisdom and the knowledge, and I pray that they stay in you throughout that week and throughout their days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.